Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. Our next guest presented at Sharing Our Knowledge on How Climate Change is Affecting People Who Are Alaska Native. Welcome to the show, longtime Alaska journalist Jacqueline Estes, who is currently writing for Indian Country Today. Jacqueline, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be here.
It's nice to be here. Longtime Alaska journalist. Tell us a little bit about your work here in the state. And before that, would you please introduce yourself?
Well, I'm Jacqueline Estes, and I'm Tlingit and English-Irish, Raven, Kachuti, and my family, my clan, is from Wrangell. I was working in the Alaska Coastal Management Program, and it was a Friday afternoon, and I was reading the Tundra Times, a paper that was being published out of Fairbanks back then. This was in 1990. And I saw an ad for a radio internship, and I had been volunteering here at KTOO with Southeast Native Radio with a bunch of other volunteers. And just on impulse, I applied, and I was accepted, and I went to serve as an intern at the Alaska Public Radio Network, and it was a one-year internship. And I was terrible. I didn't know how to write. I didn't know how to write for the ear. And I was scared to death to be on the air. And actually, then I applied for a job here at KTOO. And some listeners may remember back then when I was working here. John Greeley was probably my foremost mentor. Dave Donaldson was he would give me critiques of my stories. And Andy Klein actually helped me get over my fear of being on the radio. We'd be doing morning edition, and I'd have a script, and I was afraid to breathe or swallow on the air. And so I would just start reading, and then when it came time to breathe or swallow, I'd just stop. And Andy would step in for me and finish the rest of the story.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, and that was how I got over my terrible fear. And I have to say, it took me years and years, you know, to get to be okay at my job. And, you know, I appreciate the patience of both the listeners and the people who helped me learn how to become a radio news reporter.
And eventually?
Well, then I applied for a job at Minnesota Public Radio, and that, again, was on impulse. And I worked there for 2 years, and then I came back to KTOO, and I I was funded with a grant that ended, and I went to work for the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, and then I went to KNBA. And I left KNBA almost 3 years ago to retire. And then I started doing stories for Indian Country Today because they didn't have somebody here that they were using regularly. So I'm doing that now.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us today on KTOO's Juno Afternoon. So you presented on climate change, how climate change is affecting Alaska Native people.
Yes. And, well, let me say one other thing. I just published my first article, and it's going to be out in First Alaskans in early October. And it's about the Memorial Presbyterian Church here in Juneau.
Oh, wow.
And that was the church that Walter Sobolev ran. And it was a successful, thriving church until it was shut down by the Presbytery. So that's coming out in a couple of weeks. And then as far as climate change, one day I discovered the world of fellowships. And it was the first fellowship I applied for. It was going to be to attend a one-week session on the Gerontological Society of America's annual science meeting. And so I went there, and the reason I applied was because it was in November in New Orleans. And I was in Anchorage, and I thought, oh, I'd love to go to New Orleans in November. And it was really nice, and it was unbelievably educational, sitting and listening to, you know, just scientist after scientist, people who had spent sometimes 5 years on one study, and they were there, and they were given 15 minutes to report on the results of their research. And so it was like a crash course in aging. And then later on, my employer applied for a grant to cover climate change. So I went out and I visited, I don't remember how many communities, but I interviewed people in northwestern and western Alaska and just Alaska natives all around the state. And I also went to a conference called Arctic Imperative, where you know, world leaders were talking about when the Arctic Ocean melts, and it'll you'll be able to transit across the top of Canada through the Northwest Passage, or over the top of Russia, and it'll cut shipping costs by 40% or 60%. So I talked to people, a lot of people, and just, you know, got all kinds of information about how climate change is already affecting people in the Arctic. And we're not feeling it as much here in Southeast, and even in South Central, it's not as dramatic as up north, where the lack of sea ice is opening villages up to terrible, fierce, pounding storms. And the lack of sea ice means people can't get out to where the marine mammals are that they're used to hunting. People are having more accidents falling through the ice because it's thin when it shouldn't be. In Fairbanks, houses are sinking into the melted permafrost. And so you'll see, and, you know, I interviewed just a lot of people with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and geologists and health professionals, and they would show me pictures, for instance, of a house where the permafrost melted and the ground fell away, and their pipes or their stairs were dangling off above the ground, and they had to get a ladder to climb up to their stairs. And then, so that when permafrost melts, it might collapse or it might buckle. And people showed me pictures of, like, the Selawik River had a slump, and tons, I mean, it might have been, it was dozens, it could have been hundreds of tons of the shore and a hillside next to the river fell into the river. And all that sediment, it, first of all, it blocked passage for salmon, but it also, you know, made it unsuitable habitat for salmon. So it just goes on and on, the kinds of challenges people are facing. And then I interviewed Robin Bronin, who's a human rights activist, and she had done her PhD on climate change and Alaska and how it's affecting Alaska. And she was one of the things she was focused on was the fact that there is no agency whose job it is to deal with this. And so you look at a village that is losing sometime anywhere from 20 to 75 to 300 feet of shoreline to erosion, and houses, schools, stores, fuel tanks, water systems, barge landings, canneries are all at risk. Mm. And they desperately need to move. People have nightmares about floods. I mean, one village, it was Kivalina, and to evacuate, they had to get on snow machines and go across a lagoon and get to the other side and get on a giant all-terrain vehicle, and it took them miles and miles down the road to where, I mean, on a trail, really, and got them to a road, and then they got on a bus, and then they went to Red Dog Mine facilities.
Wow.
So think about doing that in the middle of a storm with infants and elders and people who are disabled. And the other thing that happens to these villages is agencies stop investing. So everything's going to pot. You know, the boardwalks, the roads, the power lines, housing facilities. So,
wow. I should have saved an hour or 2 hours to speak with you today. I wish
we had more time.
Let me mention,
I'm down here for this Sharing Our Knowledge conference, and I encourage everybody to go. It's open to the public, and you have Alaska Natives and academic professionals giving talks. It's incredibly – I love it.
Yeah.
I'm just having a great time.
I agree. Where can we find your work? And I'll link to it at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, Indian Country Today. Where else?
Well, First Alaska, but that's it right now.
Okay.
But the series on climate change is at knba.org.
All
and if
right.
you put in climate change, Jocelyn Estes, and the way my name – so here's something about my name – I don't know anybody else yet who has it spelled the same way I do. It's J-O-A-Q-L-I-N and then E-S-T-U-S. So if you put in Jocelyn and climate change, it might actually get you to this series that I did for KNBA. And that was done a few years ago, but it's still there and it's still very – I think it's pretty timely. Not much has changed except it's gotten worse.
Jocelyn Estes, thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Kiki Kaw.